Steve Levson did a report on the North Carolina camp, which has just ended this past week. And it was interesting to read. I'll read the first little bit of it. It was interesting to see how similar the beginning of that camp, or that camp, was to the beginning of our camp. It says, from the outset of the North Carolina camp of 2013, there seemed to be a shout of victory. Wasn't that exactly the way this camp started? The teachings on from the Old Testament illustrated the power of God over the enemies of his people. We were also reminded through prophecy that God is well able to protect us, keep us safe, and fight for us. The battle is the Lord's, and he seemed to tell us that message loud and clear. Praise the Lord. And he's been speaking the same things to us here this week. And I'm sure that burdens have been lifted and battles have been won within ourselves as we went through this camp. Praise the Lord. And we're so thankful for that. Earlier in the week, I suggested that maybe we wouldn't have an special evening for the children, as has been our habit, that we would try to integrate the children ministry throughout the camp. And that happened a little bit, but not as much as it could have, and we haven't had enough of the children. Really a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to all of us to be in at the place where we have our meals and see it turned into a large play area, and the children playing and enjoying themselves, and we're enjoying them. And so it's just been a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to see the whole church together and enjoying each other's fellowship. Praise the Lord. No matter what the age is, and these children have been a delight to us. So as we begin the service this morning, or this isn't morning, is it? I'm very confused. I'm trying to spot certain people here, but I don't see them. I'm going to ask someone to open in prayer. Victor Levson, would you just open in prayer? Is there a mic down there, or do you want to come up here? Praise God.
Father, we just commit this service to you now. We thank you for your presence here with us in this camp, Lord. We praise you that you have spoken to our hearts. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask tonight that you would just continue your blessing upon each one, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, that your spirit would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and hearts to receive from you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
What we'll be doing tonight is very scriptural, of course, and I'll just read a couple of scriptures to prove it. And this is from Luke, the 18th chapter and the 18th verse, where it says, the people were bringing children to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the little children to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Praise God. So to begin the evening, rather than have all the children come up at once, I'd like, I don't see as many children as I had hoped I would see. out there, but they must, maybe some of them are hiding. The children from Cranbrook have been such a delight when I went there, as I mentioned earlier in the camp. And I'd like them to come up and start things off for us. Would you? All of the Cranbrook children. And just have them sing something. And they might need some help from parents. And feel free to come right up here. And if somebody wants to sit up in these front seats. How many are there? There are not very many of them. Some are, they're not. Okay. Well, here I thought we'd have 10 or so like we usually have at Cranbrook.
Oh,
oh, they're all in bed. Well, let's do that. Good, yeah. I guess we're just going to have some more children come up to sing, and, you know, some won't, we didn't really insist on people, on them preparing, so it doesn't look like it would crowd the platform too much if we just had them all come up. These people need some help, and okay, are there some children's songs that we can sing? Okay, what do you usually sing at Cranbrook? No? What's that? I'm not here. Oh, wow. Can you lead them in that one? No, you don't know. Oh,
in the sky.
Yeah, I know they know that one.
Missing here is the director, the choir director, and she's sitting halfway back there. Sister Mamie Seabrook, would you come up here, please? I know it got something missing here. This is the person that knows all these songs and directs the choir in Cranbrook. So, okay, what else can they sing? Oh, yeah, okay. Over, you want them over that way a little bit? Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Maybe we should all stand with them.
Running over. Okay, running over.
So, as you realize, this is sort of a new experiment, and things don't always go perfectly, and you're trying something new. But we still want to hear more from the children. So, when we're finished with this, I'm going to ask Brother Hannigan to pray a blessing on the children after this is finished. But in the meantime, we would really like to hear whatever. Now, let's see, where do we start? Okay, the Hannigans from Tacoma. Do you want to come up? I know there are several that are going to be able to minister to us this evening. Do you want to... And here are, do you want the other mic or something like that? Yep. Here we
First Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my bodies to the flame, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but when there are prophecies, there it will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I pushed child's ways behind me. Now I see but a poor reflection. Then I shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and I prophesy in part. Know in part, and shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You searched my... You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and then light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. What a wonderful gift they are giving themselves, that through their whole lifetime they'll have those scriptures. They won't have to get out their Bible or their iPad, they just know them. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We really appreciate that. Great blessing. So we're all inspired to do the same next camp. Everybody will be able to do that, right? Glory to God. Who would like to be next? That's a tough act to follow. Nobody wants to be next. Is there someone else? Lane said, told me before the service, he said, well, I can tell my daughters to sing and they will sing. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll have them do that. So maybe it's time for them to come and sing. We'll try to ignore all the interruptions here. Still works.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me, they comfort me. He made the trees and he made me, because he is, yes, he is King of Kings. He made the sun, he's the one, only God, loving God, King of Kings. No other could there be as great as he. We praise no one but thee, King of Kings. Rotem, King of Kings. Nothing I can do and nothing I can see could ever be King of Kings. Nothing up above or underneath the sea could ever be King of Kings. No other could there be as great as he. We praise no one but thee, King of Kings, Shatan, King of Kings.
Thank you. Okay. Is it Brody that has a song? Or, yep.
I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me, if you follow me, if you follow. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me. Come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me. I will give you rest.
There you go. Any others in that age group have something? It's very much appreciated.
God is so good. 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 God is so good.
In South America, when they say God is so good or God is good, then the reply is supposed to be all the time.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Oh, thank you. So, did we miss anyone before Brother Hannigan comes? Pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus love. I'm
all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Okay. Did you find your page?
Yeah.
Stand over by that microphone so we can hear you. We'll move this back this way a little bit. Okay.
I found it.
It's not very light there, but go ahead when you want.
Number one, you shall not have another God before me. Two, you shall not make for so.
I'm just going to take this off here so we can hear it better. She's reading the Ten Commandments here.
Yeah.
Light is not good. Okay. That's better. You shall have no other gods before me. You read that one?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to read?
This one. Yeah. Number 2 and number 3 and all of them. I can read all of them.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh, okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
You shall not make for yourself a coveting.
Okay.
I can't read that last bit.
Which one do you want to read now? This one? So 4 says, remember the Sabbath day.
I was going to read this one.
Hmm?
You shall not murder.
Right.
You shall not steal.
Right. Okay.
You shall not covet.
Thank you. Some of the most important of the Ten Commandments. Thank you very much. Okay. Brother Hannigan, would you like to come, please?
When I was the age of some of those children, I would have had a hard time to come and do what they did. But it's very nice. I often think of what the scripture tells of the time when the mothers and the fathers brought their children to Jesus. When mothers of Jerusalem, their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled and sweetly smiled and kindly said, suffer little children to come unto me. For I will receive them and fold them to my bosom. I'll be a shepherd to these lambs. Oh, drive them not away. For if their hearts to me they give, they shall with me in glory live. Suffer little children to come unto me. Praise the Lord. And so it's a great joy today to see the little ones come and do what they can to memory work of what they've learned, which will stay with them all the days of their lives. I've had the privilege of leading and singing for a lot of elderly people, and one piece they know the best is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Very few that don't know that. We have people from all backgrounds in these nursing homes, you can just imagine. But most of them know that Jesus loves me, this I know. And there's not a more wonderful message than the fact that Jesus loves us. And that song says, If we love him when we die, he will take us home on high. And a lot of beautiful verses in that. So I think we should stand now and just look to the Lord to bless the children. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for each one of us. And especially we think of the children this evening. We remember how the dads and moms brought their little ones to Jesus, and he took them up in his arms, and he put his hand upon them and blessed them. Oh God, tonight we pray your blessing upon each of these children. Lord, the things that they have learned as little children, we know and believe that they will stay with them all throughout their life, and that they will be able to minister these beautiful scriptures and these beautiful songs to those around about them. We pray for your anointing, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to rest upon the children. We pray for your anointing to be upon the mums and the dads as they guide their little ones, Lord, throughout their lives. Father, we see the enemy likes to guide people in the wrong direction and in the ways of darkness and the ways of evil. But Father, with your help, we pray that our parents will guide the children in the ways of righteousness, in the way of salvation, and in the ways of your kingdom. Lord, bless these children. Bless all of them, those that are here and those that maybe have gone to rest. Be with them all, dear Lord. And we just pray you'll help us to have wisdom as parents, as mothers and dads, as elders and brethren, that we might do the things that will cause the children to grow to know and to love you. Father, we pray this in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
We appreciated the children coming up. Now, I wonder if there are any of you who are a little bit older than those children who have been just waiting to share something with us this week or have a word of encouragement or something like that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This verse has just really spoke to me a lot. It's about joy. And it's Psalm 5. And it's just the whole psalm. So, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray in the morning, O Lord. You hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Thank you.
Never get tired of hearing scriptures, selected scriptures, and those that mean something to us, that many times the scriptures will stand out and we see something in them that we've never seen before, even though we've heard or read them many times. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah.
This is going to be a little bit of a repetition of some of the things that we have already heard, but a personal story with it. I don't know how many know me, but like I'm somebody that had been in various choirs throughout my life, including when I was in university and then after university. And so, especially like at the university level, a lot of times it'll be classical music and what they refer to as sacred music, and which a lot of times is based on scriptures. And in particular, the one that I've probably sang the most has been Handel's Messiah. And it was just something that that God spoke to me one time when we were, because to have the experience of practicing music over and over again and just concentrating on how you're saying your vowels and your consonants and where you breathe and your pitch and what not coming in too early or too late. It's very easy to the meaning of the words, just not paying attention to them, right? And the realization that I had, you know, singing Handel's Messiah over and over again, which is, from what I can think of, is almost exclusively right from this, the scriptures. And there's this one part of the song where it says, and this is from Revelations 5 and 12, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And I remember we were actually performing it, and God just kind of spoke to me saying that that there are power in those words, and that like I shouldn't, you know, take them for granted, and I should definitely pay attention to them. And every time after that, when we would be practicing or we would sing it, I would really ask God that I could internalize these words, and those people that are in the choir that are singing it with me, that even if they know nothing, because a lot of times there would be some Christians in the choir and some that weren't at all, and they just love music and that's why they were there, that these words would minister to them, and that we would perform them, that even the people that were just there because they love classical music, that these words would minister them to them as well. And I think, oh, I feel bad, I don't remember who had said, who's saying this morning that, you know, it's easy to say, "I surrender all." Like, and I think even, you know, in our services, sometimes it's very easy, like, you know, songs that you know so well, it's just a repetition, and to not really to think or internalize the things that you said and to kind of reflect on those things. And you really have to concentrate, and it can be very, very difficult, and it's very easy to just go into an autopilot, but to really reflect on what you're saying and get a blessing from those words.
Thank you. I haven't been involved in singing those, the Messiah. I've heard it many times. I certainly am thrilled by those scriptures. When Janice was saying that, it reminded me of many times in Regina. Janice's dad, David Kotcher, and I would be sitting in the balcony of Knox Met Church as our wives were taking part in singing various things with the Regina Symphony, or with the, we especially liked the Messiah, and we were reminded of the two old fellows that are sat up in the balcony on the and the Flintstones. That was David and I sitting up there commenting on the performance. I miss that very much. David's a special friend of mine. Anyone else? Praise God. I wonder if any of the brethren have something to contribute.
So if you were going to, how much time do we have? Oh, lots. If you were going to title my short topic, it would be something along the lines of how similar God is to the breakfast table that we've been serving this morning, something along those lines. As you can well imagine, I've been thinking a lot about breakfast this week, and so this is a bit of a, I wouldn't call it a parable so much as an analogy that we can use to, I guess, reflect how God feeds us. And the main point of what I'm trying to get across is that God puts out the banquet table, but we have to go to the banquet table to be fed. You have to serve yourself from the banquet table that Jesus puts out for you. And unlike some of the breakfast berries, the banquet table is always full. But you have the responsibility to come and serve yourself. You got to get yourself a plate. You got to put some stuff on it. And there's great variety. God's got the variety out there that you need for that day, whether you're in the mood for berries and milk, hot cereal with some raisins and cinnamon on it, God's got it out there and he's ready for you. And that has been going over and over in my heart this week, how God will put out such a beautiful banquet that will fill all of our needs, whatever struggle you're going through, but it's up to you to get the plate and put it on there. It's up to you to open your Bible and read some scripture. It's up to you to get on your knees and pray. And it's up to you to ask for help from a friend, hopefully a Christian friend, or an elder or a deacon, because you need to fill that plate full yourself. God's got lots for you. You just need to fill it yourself.
I just had this feeling where I should just share one of my favorite scriptures, and that's in Ruth, first chapter, verse 16, and it says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and my God, and thy God, my God." And I just love how it's just the love that she showed, and how it shows that we should always love someone and stay with them and always be their support, and that's how God is for us. So, there you go.
It's amazing how long walk that walk can be in a short room like this. I follow a devotional on my phone here, but I'm not always very good at doing it every single day. So sometimes I end up reading the same chapter again and again and again, because I'm supposed to read like three or four chapters a day, and I never sometimes don't quite get to the end. So I've been reading quite repeatedly in Deuteronomy chapter 15, and the Lord's put a few little things on my heart about it, and I don't know. Well, I just pray that he'll convey them adequately to you this evening. I'll read it as it is, first of all, Let me just pull up the New King James Version here. So this is Deuteronomy 15 and 1. It says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. And he shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, except where there may be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you, just as he has promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates of your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all you and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Now when I read this like the first time, of course I'm thinking of my own actual debt, and if I could just take this verse into the bank and say, it's been 7 years on my mortgage, and I want out, you know? wouldn't that be nice? But So that's the first thing that came to mind the first time. But after reading it a few times, God really just started speaking to me on how nowadays, because the bank's not going to let me out of my mortgage, and the car people and all those other things, but how we have been spiritually blessed in our land, and how God has provided many spiritual blessings to us. And I'm going to falter if I try and name a bunch of them, but we certainly, when we heard people giving thanks for the greatness of God the other night, we heard many of them, of his forgiveness, of his compassion, of all of the ways in which he hears us, heals us, listens to our prayers, answers the makes good on his promises and such. That there is a spiritual analogy to this as well in this day and age. Sister Marilyn mentioned the night of, or somewhere earlier in the week, and I forget which night it was, but she talked about how God has been working with her on forgiving for something that happened many, many years ago. And that ties in with this to me, that every 7 years in the scripture, there's to be a release. There's to be a forgiveness of all debt. And it just feels to me like everything that we carry around with us, where somebody has done a thing to us or somebody's made us feel a certain way about ourselves, that there comes a time in God's time where we have to let that go. Where, you know, we just have to be able to turn that over to God and not let it weigh on our heart and on our shoulders and our mind and our spirit anymore. That we have to have a year of release. That God has said, you know what, it's time. I don't know what this thing is crawling up here. Sorry. Sorry about that. Had a lot of legs. don't let that detract from what God is saying at this time. But I think that there has to be a year of release in our hearts, and that we can't carry around with us any bitterness. We can't carry around with us any feelings of remorse, anything, because God has set us free from that. It says in the same scripture as you go through, God has given us this land, and this land is a land of freedom. It's a land of prosperity spiritually. It's a land of happiness. It's a land of joy. It's a land of the countless and endless gifts that God can provide. So take from that that which you will, but I think that, you know, if there's anything that you're carrying around for you, pray to God for that year of release and seek Him for that, because that's part of His plan for us, that we don't carry those things around.
Once again, any of the brethren have something? We're not going to go too long tonight. Tonight is the Wiener Boil, and so, but I wonder, I don't want to cut this off before everyone's had an opportunity to share what might be on their hearts.
God has blessed us so greatly, and came to my mind the song, Count Your Blessings. And I wonder if we could sing that tonight. It's if you'd mind coming to the panel, keyboard. It's on page 24 in your hymn books, if you have your hymn books. But when upon life's billows you're a tempest tossed, when you get discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Shall we rise and sing that this evening? When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you get discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Praise the Lord. So you may be seated.
I'm probably pretty shaky ground walking up here tonight because my heart was touched by the quotation of Scripture tonight, the passage of 1 Corinthians. And 13th chapter, it kind of twigged a couple of thoughts. I won't be long, so don't get worried. I think that the word love is maybe one of my favorite words. I kind of like poetry. I never ever wanted to admit that when I was a student, at least, you know, kind of high schoolish or certainly junior high. That's just a terrible thing to like poetry. But nevertheless, I did. I've dabbled a little in trying to write it. I wouldn't call it poetry. It's probably something else, but as I've thought about that topic, I know that there's much that has been written about it. Singers have sung about it. It's a deep emotion that possibly defies definition. Boy, this is a squeaky place right here. Kind of bothering my flow. Every time I move, it squeaks. Have them fix that next year. Well, or my knees. But there have been many attempts to capture this emotion, including my own. I've written many love poems to my wife. Now, how many of you fellas can say that? Good. There's a few in that category. Do you know something? I never quite capture it. I never quite get out on paper what's in my heart. Because it is something that kind of grabs you inside like nothing else. Just defies ability to express it. There is, however, and we heard it tonight, there is a definition that is perfect. And it's found in Scripture. We'll get there in a moment. It's hard to pin down this highest form of love. I remember here a couple of years ago, our sons decided that they would give their mother a birthday gift because she had a rather significant birthday. We'll just put it that way. We won't go into the number of years. So they said to her, where do you want to go? And she said, Hawaii. And they said, okay, you can take Dad with you too. Which I appreciated. So I got to go on this trip. And while we were there for a few days. They had also give her some spending money. Just to spend the way, whatever way she wanted. And she wanted a memento from the trip. And so we looked around and here and there and in some of the shops until we found, went into this studio where this artist had many of her pictures and prints and so on. And we looked at them and finally Irene decided on one of them. And it was a nice painting, but maybe it was chosen by her more for what was written underneath it than the painting itself. And what was underneath it was this. Love is what we are born with. Fear is what we learn. The spiritual journey is the unlearning of fear and prejudices and the acceptance of love back into our hearts. Love is the essential reality and our purpose on earth. To be consciously aware of it, to experience love in ourselves and others, is the meaning of life. Meaning does not lie in things. Meaning lies in us. Does that capture the real essence of it? Not quite. It goes a ways, but not totally. Because there are people that are here tonight that weren't here when I used this other quotation a couple of days ago, I'm going to repeat that one. It isn't that I'm losing my mind, no. I know I said this before. So I just want to get that up front. If you would walk in beauty, stay in love. There's no garment more becoming than love. No vitamin more invigorating. No cosmetic more glamorizing. Beauty never fades where love is present. Does it do it? Not quite. It's got a good expression to it. It goes a ways, but not all the way. This emotion is too powerful. It has such depth to it that it requires more. And really, that more is found in what, I'm sorry I do not know your son's name. I should have known that because I've heard that. What Ross did tonight, that captures the essence of love. You see, there are many kinds of love. And we use the word loosely in our conversation. We love this or we love that or we use it all the time. But there is really one kind of love, and it is not eros that I am talking about, which is a physical love, or philos, which is a friendship or brotherly love, but it's agape love. And that's the love that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians. And there is tremendous depth in that. The scriptures tell us what we are to love and what we are not to love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul and mind. Boy, that's a mouthful. That's giving all of yourself to God. You love Him with all of yourself. Not just part. Not just a passing sort of thing. An infatuation. But a depth of love. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On the other hand, 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. The longer that I live, the more that I see the truth of that scripture. It isn't money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. I don't know whether Ross was quoting by memory from what translation it was. Maybe you could tell me that. NIV. I'm going to read it again because I have still another few minutes, according to the fellow that sets the rules here. I'm going to read it from the Phillips. If you have one, you might want to follow along. If you don't, you can't. I am fascinated with the first three verses of that scripture because it speaks of all human effort. You can put forth all kinds of human effort, and it means absolutely nothing. And we're pretty good at that. At least I am. I'm pretty good at human effort. If I speak with the eloquence of men and of angels and have no love, I become no more than a blaring brass or a crashing cymbal. In other words, I am just noise. If I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I also have only, pardon me, and if I also have that absolute faith which can move mountains, but have no love, I amount to nothing at all. If I dispose of all that I possess, yes, even if I give my body to be burned, but have no love, I achieve precisely nothing. Well, we see all kinds of things in the world about how, what the sorts of things people will do in the name of religion. They walk on hot coals, they nail themselves to crosses, they do all kinds of things. Futile. Without love. These are pretty impressive things, aren't they, to the natural way of thinking. They are useless without the motivation of love behind them. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. Boy, this speaks volumes to the heart of this fellow. Because I haven't got too much of it sometimes. It looks for a way of being constructive. It's easy to be critical, isn't it? The human mind kind of wants to criticize pretty easily. But what about being constructive? You know, when you correct a child, you want to say to him or her, you know, this would be a better way to act. This would be a more constructive way to do this. To be constructive. To suggest a better way. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Our world is full of people wanting to be important. Futile. The only person that really counts in being important to is God. And you know how you're important to Him? By loving Him. By carrying out the ministry that He has imparted to you. Operating it in love. Amen? Love is good manners. And does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It is not easily offended, in other words. I want to tell you a little story. Now I'm getting close to the end of my time here. Well, he says, don't worry about it. So, okay. Have you ever been offended? Have you? Pretty well all hands. Rod shaking his head, never been offended. Yeah, we'll work on that. I remember one time, I don't even remember what I was offended about, to tell you the truth, which is just as well. But I was feeling pretty down, or I had taken offense to something. Probably something that somebody said or something that somebody did. And I guess I was feeling a little sorry for myself. You ever feel a little sorry for yourself? I bet you do. You know, somehow in that state of mind, the Spirit of God seemed to come to me and say, "You're offended. You're offended." I hung on that cross for you. They drove nails into my hands and into my feet for you. They put a crown of thorns on my head for you. And for the ones that drove those nails into my hands and feet, I said, "Father, forgive them. You're offended." Boy, I'll tell you, what a quick lesson in taking offense. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. Well, at least I'm better than him. At least I don't do that. Comparing ourselves kind of favorably with something else or somebody else. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when truth prevails. Truth sets free. Love knows no limit to its endurance. No end to its trust. No fading of its hope. You know, hope is a wonderful thing. Hope gets you out of bed in the morning. If you had no hope, you'd just stay in bed. Hopeless. Why get up and face this turmoil and the challenges? Hope. We have a hope that is beyond comprehension or expression, because we hope in Christ. We hope in what is before us. The glory that is before us. Love knows no limit to its endurance. No end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. You know, one of the places, when I'm away from home, one of the places that I can't wait to get back to is home. Especially if Irene hasn't been with me. Thankfully, she comes with me most of the time. I'm thankful for that. Starting to balk a little bit, but I persuade her. Because I like her having her along. I like to come home. And if I'm feeling down, that's one special place to be. Because she lifts me up. You see, she's never down. I got just the right kind of woman, let me tell you. I want to tell you the difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the enemy. The Spirit of God lifts up, and the enemy pushes down. That's the difference. And let us remember that whether we're talking about our wives or our husbands, or we're talking about someone else and the Spirit dwells in that individual, then it is Christ that's lifting up. Amen? It's the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. For if there are prophecies that they will be fulfilled and done with, if there are tongues, the need for them will disappear. If there is knowledge, it will be swallowed up in truth. For our knowledge is always incomplete, and our prophecy is always incomplete. And when the complete comes, that is the end of the incomplete. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I talked and felt and thought like a little child. Now that I am a man, my childish speech and feeling and thought have no further significance for me. At present, we are men looking at puzzling reflections in the mirror. The time will come when we shall see reality whole and face to face. At present, all I know is a little fraction of the truth. But the time will come when I shall know it as fully as God now knows me. In this life, we have three great lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. You know something? They're all important. It's the way that Paul puts it, in that love is at the top of the list, because he says it's the greatest of them all, and it is, and we need to be motivated by love. But actually, the faith and the hope that God wants to instill within us, in our daily walk, in our lives, in our associations with each other, in our relationships, in our family, and in the church, and in the workplace, or wherever it is vitally important that we demonstrate and that we manifest in our lives these qualities. We are not just Sunday morning people. We shouldn't be. I think Sunday morning is important. Don't misunderstand me. So do I think prayer meeting is important and any other meeting that might be called. Very important. But we have a daily life that we live day by day and hour by hour, wherever we are at and wherever we go, that God is interested in how we function in that daily experience of our lives. I've taken a little bit longer than I probably should have, but that's what often happens with me. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Think on the word a little bit. Think on how it operates and functions in your own life. Love is crucial to this walk that we have with God. Amen.
Brother Sunbow, you're right. It is the floor. My sincere apologies. That or we both got a problem. Tonight, we'll call them the young men and women, and those that feel that way, and I'm one of them. We're going to have what we call the Wiener Boil, and it's going to be below the dining hall, where we've had it over the number of years. The only request that we're going to make of you tonight is that where we enter into the dining hall for our meals, that that's where you will enter. And when you go in that door, follow the door through to where the washrooms are, you know, around the corner. And there's a door right across from the door into the washroom for the, I believe it's the men's, I'm not sure, before you get to the kitchen. And it says employees only, but that door will be open. And if you open that door, you go down the stairs, and that'll take us to that room that's down there. There's nothing really set up. There is some tables that can be set up, and there's chairs along the wall. So whatever it is, if you'd like to take the chairs and use them for circles or a couple of tables down, there will be the food down there. The one thing that we ask you to do is just to clean up tonight when we're done, like to put the chairs back, the table back, so Doyle doesn't have to do that, if we'd appreciate it. I'll let you know ahead of time, there are 50 wieners. So please take one, and then if there's ones left over, then you're more than welcome so that there is nothing left. There will be other food to go along with that as well. Just one thing, too, that I'll mention to you. Doyle and Sharon Knight and Jolene, is that right? And Jolene and Eric have been sitting sort of by themselves. And I discussed that with Doyle this afternoon. And I said, you know, we've talked about this, that we believe that you belong to eat with us. And that doesn't mean at a table by yourself. And he says, well, that's sort of how we feel, but we weren't just sure. And I said, Doyle, please don't ever go sit by yourself again over there. I said, please just choose a table and sit in. And tears started to come to his eyes, and he says, I'm going to tell you something. He says, of all the groups that we have in here, he says, after they've been here for a couple of days, he says, I can stand here and tell you when they walk in who's going to sit where. He said, I never know where any of you are going to sit. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That somebody would notice that he says, everyone sits with somebody else all the time. He said, wow. That is so awesome. So see how we're watched? Something so simple just like that. I believe there's going to be refreshments here too for those that don't feel young. Ouch. Have a nice evening. Byron says you're dismissed.